get misinformed, it's good to get it right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's always good to get things right. Back to you.
Dynamite dropping, Matt Stell, that broadcasting school is really paying off.
Can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. Jim's Razorback Pizza, your hog headquarters come game day. Jim's Razorback Pizza on Highway 10, Morgan Maumelle, and Hot Springs.
Oh, very, very impressed. Obviously watched his career. Similar path as mine as a defensive coordinator, being promoted to head coach in waiting, and then obviously he made the transition to get to where he is today. It's easy to see his players play very hard. They obviously like him. They buy into what he's selling. A very, very good coach. And someone that I'm glad that I've got to know him on a personal level because he's a great human being as well.
Well, that's high praise. Brett Bielema buttering up Will Muschamp prior to the kickoff this weekend down in the Swamp. That game is at 6 o'clock, pregame on the Buzz at 2 o'clock with the Hogwild Game Day brought to you by First Arkansas Bank and Trust. The game and pregame from IMG will follow, and the First Security fifth quarter will follow that. So lots of good Razorback programming this week on the Buzz. As far as Will Muschamp goes, we know they have struggled a little bit on offense, but defensively they are getting it done. He
looking
is talking
good.
Filthy. Number two in the country, statistically speaking. I would say they are the best defense in the country, though, from what I've seen.
Because they've done that against some formidable opponents.
Yes. Far. And unfortunately, their offense did not show up against Miami, or they might be undefeated.
Correct.
Here is Will Muschamp talking about defensive challenges.
Starting with Arkansas, we haven't faced anybody, Pat, that's the physicality that they're going to play with on the offensive line, the quality backs, the matchups outside. You know, you look at Herndon and Hatcher and those guys, I mean, those are some good players. So we need to play well on the edges. We're going to need to tackle well and play blocks, but we haven't played a team with the physicality that they play with.
If there was a street fight, much like Anchorman, where all the SEC coaches showed up to a back alley, who would be the last man standing?
Who you think? Clearly.
I don't think it's that clear.
Really?
No, but I think Arkansas and Florida would have two guys who would make it late into the evening.
Late into the evening. We'd be talking about semifinalists.
Saban's about my size, so I'm going to guess he'd go out early.
Yeah, yeah. Saban would really put forth a lot of effort, have great technique. But
Les Miles with his shirt off. He's not in bad shape for an older gentleman.
Well, I'm just pretty sure Coach B goes in there with a windbreaker suplex and just dominates.
Well, Muschamp's a pretty intense and pretty physical fella himself. He was a defensive back, though.
Yeah, but exactly.
There aren't many defensive linemen who go on to be successful head coaches, I don't think, that I can off the top of my head.
Tom, I was thinking offense, Tom Cable in the NFL. It's like
I said successful coaches.
You did say that.
Yes, so that's a rarity. Let me bring in Edward Ashoff of ESPN.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Edward, welcome back, and I hate to bring you in on the grown-up version of my dad can beat up your dad, but if you were going to ride one of the SEC coaches in a vicious cockfight in a back alley, which SEC coach do you think would be the last man standing in a free-for-all?
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I might.
Well, let's rule out a couple guys.
The correct answer is not Spurrier.
Nick Saban, Spurrier, they're both out of the mix automatically. Those guys are first-round ejectees, with all due respect.
With all due respect.
But we'll marinate on that for a minute. We can talk some actual football. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Did you go anywhere last week?
I was in Athens. It was the best game of the season.
You know what? You're going to be hard-pressed to find a better game than that this year, although there have been a couple pretty spectacular offensive showcases this year, that one in the Alabama A&M game. But let me start with this. Speaking of, Bob Stoops taking shots at the SEC. You know what? This is like the guy who asked the girl out seven times and she says no, and then he goes around telling all his friends about what a skank she is and how he would never go out with her if she begged him. It's jealousy, and it's sad. And Bob Stoops, frankly, is better than that. But he's now poking at the teams because you know what the SEC's doing? They're doing their best Big 12 impression this year. The offenses have taken center stage. And he says, funny how people can't play defense when they have pro-style quarterbacks over there. Well, this just didn't, Bob. There have been pro-style quarterbacks here in the SEC before. Anyway, it is amusing to me, but it has been quite the offensive show so far.
Well, I do think that the level of quarterback play is certainly better now than it has been in years in the SEC collectively, with guys like Aaron Murray, A.J. McCarron, Zach Mettenberger, Johnny Manziel. I mean, James Franklin is healthy at Vanderbilt. I just think that right now, the defensive stars that we've seen in the SEC are gone. I mean, the SEC was ravaged by the NFL draft the last 2 years. You're seeing younger defenses out there. I mean, even Florida has a younger defense. It's probably the best defense in the entire country. So I do think defenses are down because of how good offenses are playing right now and the guys that have left the league. But, I mean, for Bob Stoops to say that, it's his opinion. And I just look at the games that he's played against SEC teams, and it just really hasn't worked out for him. So,
yeah.
It definitely makes for a fun storyline.
I believe it was the Gin Blossoms who sang "Hey Jealousy." It's really sad. He's better than that, I think, only slightly, but yes, better than that.
He was a coordinator in the SEC.
Yeah, so. The guy can't keep the SEC out of his mouth. It's amazing to me. Anyway, focus on your team. I think they're going to win the Big 12, by the way. And he's cocky now. They went into Notre Dame and won last weekend, so he's feeling pretty good. It has been pretty impressive, though, some of the offensive showcases. And what's funny is, Edward, normally when we're talking preseason, we're talking about some of the defensive stars and some of the impressive defenses that we're expecting to see back this year. This year was all about, wow, what an unbelievable quarterback class. Holy cow, what a great list of running backs. So it's really not a surprise that the offensive players have been the showcase in the early going.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that that's only going to continue. I do think defenses are going to get better as the season goes on. You look at Georgia, they're young. All over the place on defense. I think you're starting to see, some improvement after the first week. I think they regressed against LSU, to be honest with you. If Zach Mettenberger doesn't throw those last two passes too high, who knows, LSU might drive and kick a field goal or score a touchdown to win. So I still think Georgia has a very long way to go. The good news for them is they're not going to face a high-octane offense again unless they make it to Atlanta and play Alabama or Texas A&M or LSU again. So I think that Georgia's kind of in the clear right now, but facing that Florida defense could change things. We know weird things happen down in Jacksonville when they meet. But, yeah, I think right now Florida's clearly the class of the SEC when it comes to defense. I think Alabama's obviously getting better to shut out Ole Miss, a team that many people thought would score on them. I mean, Ole Miss just looked like a subpar team against Alabama, and you do not want to tug at Nick Saban. You do not want to push the bear or poke the bear, and he showed everybody why. So I think Alabama's defense is going to be fine. The question is, Mississippi State's defense has played well. Can that continue against SEC teams? We're certainly going to find out against LSU, but I do think you're going to see some improvement here pretty soon.
Yeah, LSU is the one big wild card, and certainly, as you pointed out, they played well enough to win. Georgia just played a little bit better. What a great game, though, you got to see in person. Do you think LSU has an issue with personnel, or is it just simply the fact that they do have inexperienced guys back there, and can they get it worked out by the time they play Alabama, which is what, is the most important thing, I guess?
Yeah, I do think that the inexperience certainly hurts, but Craig Lawson didn't play well against Georgia. Those corners, and obviously they're starting a true freshman, but Jalen Collins didn't play as well as I thought he would, and he's the guy who started last year. That defensive line is making me look really bad because I came into that game saying they're going to put pressure on Aaron Murray, and Ego Ferguson, Anthony Johnson, Jamari Erasco have been big disappointments to start the year. So the linebacker team, Layman Barrow, I was talking to one of our NFL guys, and he said, he's talented, but he's not somebody who really impresses you. I mean, yeah, he gets a bunch of tackles, but he's not somebody who generates a lot of plays like Kevin Minner did. So I think this LSU team is missing more than I thought, and so I'm certainly eating crow on that. But I do think that inexperience and just not having those big-time players, those big-time playmakers like they've had, is certainly hurting them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I picked LSU last week, so I was all about them, and I'm not sure that they won't win the West. I mean, all I got to do is knock off Alabama and not lose any more games. So we'll see if they can do that, but that should be another great game. You know what's interesting is I was just looking through the list of quarterbacks who have played well this year, and Arkansas is now playing a newer quarterback at Florida who's been efficient but not sexy necessarily and hadn't had to do a lot so far. But every one of these guys, their name starts with M. Let me ask you this. Over, under, two quarterbacks from the SEC invited to the Heisman ceremony.
Ooh.
I mean, you got four guys in Manziel, McCarron, Murray, and Mettenberger that are all playing extremely well right now.
Okay. I'm going to go with a push because I think Manziel can
That's the whole point of an over-under. You got to go one way or the other.
No, I don't see three quarterbacks going, and I don't see one quarterback going. I don't think you're going to see McCarron, Murray, and Manziel up for the Heisman because Murray and McCarron are probably going to cancel each other out in the SEC championship game. So I think that, and that's sad for Aaron Murray, because I think he could throw up a bunch of yards and stats. But the difference is, you know, if Johnny Manziel wasn't running the way he does, he's not going back to the Heisman if they lose a couple games and don't go to the SEC championship. A.J. McCarron has a really good shot at making it because of how efficient he plays, and he's probably going to put up some nice numbers. They're not going to be sexy, but they're going to be good enough, and he's going to be undefeated and playing for his third straight national championship. So it's going to be tough to keep him out of the Heisman race. I don't see Mettenberger doing it because I think LSU isn't going to make it to Atlanta. I think there's at least another loss out there for him. So I'm going against the rules. You're going to have to like it. I think two will go. I don't see three, and I don't see one.
How do you like them apples? You got to like it. Yeah, I'm going to go to Vegas and set lines on all kinds of stupid questions like that one, see what happens. I'm obviously right on board with where I need to be, so that's good. Arkansas travels to the Swamp, and what I didn't realize is – it's like the first night game they've had down there since you got out of school. But it's been 2 years since they've had a night game down there. I'm going to assume that the Florida Gator fans will be juiced in a special kind of way with a night game in the Swamp.
Yeah, and I think that people are excited about Tyler Murphy. And it's funny, I joked with somebody over there at Florida on the staff this week and said, it's funny how everybody loves Tyler Murphy over there now, and he's doing less than what Jeff Driscoll did statistically. Now, does he have better presence in the pocket? I think so. Does he have more command in the huddle? I think so. And that's what people are really, I guess, excited about. But they really are very similar players. I don't think that Murphy is as fast. He might be more. He's definitely more slipperier.
Slipperier, yes.
Yeah, than Jeff Driscoll. But, you know, does he have the arm? I don't think he has the same kind of arm skill. It's going to come down to who can manage the game better. And I think right now people think Murphy could do that. Granted, he's played Tennessee and Kentucky, two defenses that I don't think anybody wants a part of right now. Arkansas is going to give him a little better look. Obviously, they're a more physical team. They have a way better defensive line. That's going to be fun to watch those two lines go at it. But I do think that with the excitement around Tyler Murphy, with this defense playing lights out, we'll see what happens without Dominic Easley. Kentucky's offensive line, really not much to be very impressed with, but there's so much depth up front for Florida. I think this is going to be one of those old-school type SEC games. And I think they're going to be pretty jacked for finally getting a night game.
Well, I'll give Murphy this. He's actually been more efficient from a completion percentage standpoint, almost 72%. Not that Driscoll was bad, because he was about 69%. Two touchdowns, one pick. And that was one of the things that Driscoll struggled with. He did throw three interceptions in what was limited action as far as the number of attempts go. But when you look at the number of rushing yards, the number of rushing attempts, now my next question becomes over under 3 hours, 5 minutes in the game.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to go with under.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people there at Florida and Arkansas, they're really expecting nothing but running plays. So whoever can throw the ball the best is probably going to win this game. Even though they're both going to try and run 50 times in this one. And it's funny, you know, Mac Brown, Florida's number two running back, was saying he loves this game. No spread, you know, line up, hit each other in the mouth, let's go, let's see who's stronger. And it's going to be fun to watch. I like what Arkansas's running game is doing, but here's the thing. When I said that they weren't going to beat Rutgers because they weren't going to be able to run the ball, it's really good Rutgers defense, it's a really good rush defense. You know, someone on this line was pretty correct about that. And Florida has yet to give up more than 66 rushing yards in a game. And Alex Collins is going to be the best back that they face, but Alex Collins is also the best back that Rutgers face too.
Fair point. So Arkansas is going to struggle. How successful will Florida's offense be against Arkansas's defense?
Who knows with this Florida offense? They really are the enigma of the SEC, because if you look at it, if Florida had a decent offense, they're the favorite in the SEC because of how good that defense is. But because we don't know what they're going to get, can they grind it out? You know, their running backs are certainly healthier now than they have been all season. Matt Jones had a tremendous game against Kentucky, rushed for nearly 180 yards and almost got 30 carries. So that's big for them. And they have four guys they can rotate in and out, maybe even a fifth if Adam Lane gets on the field. So I think Florida's going to move the ball a little more. They're going to wear down Arkansas more than I think Arkansas will Florida, just because of how much depth Florida has in that front seven. So I said 20-10. It might be less than that.
You might be right. Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Other high-profile games this weekend, a couple of former Arkansas State coaches squaring off. Ole Miss and Auburn. Thoughts on that game?
It's going to be a fun one. And talking to those coaches, they don't want to face each other. They're really good friends. They have similar offenses. They're rebuilding kind of the same way on offense and defense. I do think that Ole Miss has the talent advantage right now on both sides of the ball. This is a tough one. It's a night game. Injured in hair. You know what that scene is like. I think it'll be close. I've picked Ole Miss, and I could probably go back and forth all week on this one just because it's a home game for Auburn. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss is coming off an embarrassing loss to Alabama. Auburn had a week to prepare. So I think that Ole Miss is certainly the team at a disadvantage going in, but something tells me, Bo Loss has been quiet this week. I think that means the offense will be back on par. But it's going to be a shootout over there on the Plains.
Okay, Missouri and Vanderbilt. Missouri has been cheating death for a while now. I think everybody expected they would be better this year. I don't know that anybody's shocked by their record at this point. Do they come back to earth this week?
I picked them to win, and I wrestled with this one too because I think Vanderbilt's defense can certainly give Missouri's offense some issues, specifically when it comes to stopping that pass because of how good that secondary is. But at the same time, Vanderbilt's 0-2 in SEC play and has given up a chunk of yards in the process and points. So I think Missouri's going to be able to move the ball on them, and their offense might be clicking better than Ole Miss's because they have so much confidence. You talk to those guys over there in Columbia, and they keep saying, listen, we like that everybody's overlooking us. We don't want to be the favorites. We don't want people to talk about us because we're going to prove it on the field. And I think it's a different attitude. It's not the arrogant attitude that they had last year coming in, or at least some of those players did. I think they're legitimately confident and happy and having fun for the first time since they're in the Big 12, that they're just going to play loose. I mean, they have something to lose, obviously, if Garrett Pinkel's on the hot seat, but I feel like there's more pressure on Vanderbilt to win this game. You don't want to drop the 0-3 in conference play. Mm-hmm. And I just think a loose Missouri team is going to go in there and figure out a way to win this one in the fourth quarter.
Missouri is going to be like Texas Tech, in my opinion. They're going to start with 5 wins, and then they're going to end up like 6-6. I think Texas Tech could feasibly start out with 7 wins, and then go 7-5.
It's possible. I mean, the schedule for Missouri, I mean, they still have to play Georgia, they still have to play Florida. They do go on the road against Georgia.
They play at Ole Miss.
Yeah, and get Florida at home. They have some tough road games. Still have to play South Carolina, so I could see that happening. I could see this team, starting off real hot. But this has been, I mean, if they get this win, that you're one win away from making it to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Kentucky and Tennessee on your schedule. So.
Yeah, the Tennessee game could be a pivotal game for them as far as what their postseason potential looks like. So we shall see. Anything else you got your eye on this week in the SEC?
Well, that Alabama-Georgia State matchup is probably that everybody's talking about. I'll actually be there.
Do they cover? Do they cover the 58 or whatever it is?
No. Nick Saban never covers in these kinds of games. I think I said 41-0. But ha-ha Clinton Dix being out, I'm sure that's frustrating Nick Saban. But it will give some of those younger guys a chance. I like the LSU-Mississippi State game just because I don't know why Mississippi State is thinking about starting Tyler Russell over Dak Prescott. He's an option quarterback who runs that offense really well. Their offense has done extremely well. They're averaging over 500 yards the last 3 games. He has been a spark plug for them. And I'm not taking anything away from Tyler Russell, but you got to go with the hot hand. LSU's defense has really struggled. Why not go with a quarterback who can wear them down running and throw the ball? So I think that'll be a fun one to watch. All these night games, so many night games in the SEC.
Yeah, including Arkansas and Florida. Let me ask you this. I asked some other guys this week. LSU minus 9.5 or Alabama minus 55.5? Which one's a safer bet?
I'd go LSU. I think this is a team that is going to be able to score on Mississippi State. I mean, they did. I will give them this. They did well against Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State doesn't run the ball like LSU does. So I think that's going to be something that wears down the Bulldogs late.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how good Oklahoma State is, as we saw last week. The other thing is one of those weird lines where it's 55.5 in the Alabama game. The over-under is 59.5. So not a whole lot of respect for their opponent's offensive potential, Georgia State. So we'll see. But anyway.
Don't tell Nick Saban.
What's that?
Don't tell Nick Saban that.
Yeah.
Utmost respect.
Oh, they're unbelievable. Georgia State has four Heisman Trophy contenders, I'm sure. Speaking of, Doug has a question for you, Edward, quickly, and then we'll let you go. Go ahead, Doug.
Yes. I was wondering if Oregon and Alabama should meet in the championship game, would they possibly give the winner of the game the Heisman, or – or you think maybe if Manziel only loses one game, they might give it to him again? I just was wondering about that.
Doug, thanks. That's why we don't take calls from callers for question time with the on-air folks. The Heisman's actually awarded before the championship game, unless something's changed and I missed it. But
anyway. Yeah, but it would make sense if you could award it after the season. So he's going in the right direction, certainly, with that question.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm still shooting for three quarterbacks from the SEC being at the Heisman ceremony.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Three running backs one year, that's possible.
The correct answer is over, Edward Ashoff, but we'll see. Man, appreciate the time as always. Good stuff. And you can work on the head coach's street brawl answer later on. We'll get back on that.
We'll circle. Oh, man, I just want to see it.
Yeah, that
would be awful. My final four would probably certainly include Brett Bielema and Will Muschamp.
Yes, mine too. Mine too, for sure. How big is Sumlin?
Oh, he's
a good sized fella.
He gives a strong handshake.
Does he? He seems
I would be surprised.
Sumlin seems like he'd be a scrappy fella. He might be in the mix.
Yeah. Mark
Stoops. We'll keep working on this. Yeah, Mark Stoops for sure. When Brett Bielema was asked what he was like as a teammate at Iowa, he said he was red and angry. So. Stoops would be
there
a guy.
You go.
He's a feisty young man, so you know that goes. All right, Edward, thanks for the time. Enjoy that blowout this weekend.
All right, will do.
All right, take care. That is Edward Ashoff of ESPN.com.
Always a great, great segment with Edward.
Yes, especially when he comes on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline.
That's right. I was just at Stickies this week. I'm at Stickies a lot of weeks,
buddy.